We read in 2 Timothy chapter 1 at verse 5, Paul's word to Timothy, where he says, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." And turning to the third chapter, his admonition, "You have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, with persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while all evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." Our text, verse 14, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." This is God's infallible, holy, and eternal word. Beloved in the Lord, to some degree, each and every one of us are the product of our own homes. That's our inheritance. As we age, sometimes we can look back and see some of our parents in us. Others might look at us and say, "You know, you're acting just like mom or dad." Our parents, and as we think about Mother's Day, mothers in particular, have a formative influence in our lives. I think back, for example, to the greatest theologian of all time, and if you're thinking I'm going to talk about John Calvin, no, I'm going a little further back. His resource, St. Augustine in the 4th century AD. His mother prayed for him. Her name was Monica. She was a very devout Christian woman, but she was married to an unbeliever. Her son, Augustine, was a brilliant student, and as he grew up under her tutelage, he rebelled. He became highly immoral, reckless, and wicked. By his own testimony, in his own words, he said he plunged into wickedness. He went so far as to deceive his own mother, not ever a good thing to do. Deceived his own mother and went to Rome. That was not a very good place to go in that time. And as the ship sailed away, his mother stood on the dock, still pleading with him. But a Christian friend next to her comforted her and said this, "A son of so many prayers cannot be lost." When he moved to Rome, he came under the preaching of Saint Ambrose, the Bishop of Milan, and later he became convicted by the Word of God and was soundly converted shortly before his mother died. I'm sure that must have thrilled her soul to know that. And Saint Augustine became then one of the greatest bishops of the church and one of the greatest expositors and writers of the church that we have ever had. He had a godly mother. Timothy, in our text, had a godly mother. Paul's writing Timothy, a young pastor, and as he writes to encourage him, he says, to encourage him, "Remember your mom. She was a godly mother. Remember what she taught you." And she taught him the Christian faith. In fact, Paul writes that both Timothy's mother and grandmother were women of faith. And we want to look at what it was that these women of faith did for Timothy. The first thing is that they were women of faith who raised Timothy in a sincere and a godly home. Note that Paul says that faith that first dwelt in your grandmother and then in your mother Eunice. Grandma Lois, who was she? Well, We don't know much about her. Acts tells us that she was a Jewess. But Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:5 that she was of sincere faith. That's another way of saying that she was the genuine article. She had an unfeigned faith. She was one of those believers who, under the Old Testament economy, had read God's word and was faithful to read God's word and study God's word and believe the promises of God's word. And so she taught that to her daughter and then to her grandson, Timothy, as well. She was faithful. Grandma Lois, that's probably what she was called, I guess, taught the word of God faithfully. And Paul here writes how thankful he is for her faithfulness. And note what he says, that faithfulness of her. Paul says to Timothy, now lives in you. That emphasizes the communication of that faithfulness, parent, grandparent, to grandchild, tracing it through the generations of a faithful and a godly family. Then there's Mother Eunice that is named here, who faithfully taught the scriptures to her son. Notice that 2 Timothy 3:15 says, you learned the scripture, what he says, and from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Jesus Christ. From childhood, as he was growing up, from infancy, Timothy was learning from his mother the word of God. You know, the first 2 years of life are incredibly, incredibly important. You know, an infant goes from not knowing a word of the English language to being able to butcher it as well as you in two years. They have a command of the language. And if you don't think a two-year-old has command of the English language, just go and talk to one. He'll tell you how much you don't know. That's an amazing thing. What did Mother Eunice do in that 1 to 2 year period in which this infant son of hers was in her household? She taught him the scripture. And how from infancy, you're never too old or too young to study the word of God, to hear the word of God. It should begin as soon as you're born. And from infancy, he learned the word of God, so much so that he became educated in it, and so much so that he became one of the early pastors of the church at a very young age. Isn't Timothy the one that Paul had to write in these letters to say, and don't let anybody despise the fact that you're just a young guy? You know, they might look at him and say, he doesn't look old enough to have gone through seminary. He doesn't have a beard. How can we listen to him? No, it's not the young guy that you're listening to. It's the word of God through the servant of God that you're listening to. Don't let them despise your youth. Faithfully teach them the enduring word of God. So Mother Eunice, Grandmother Lois, taught him the word of God, which was their job, as Paul writes in Ephesians 6, parents are commanded to nurture and to admonish your children in the Lord. That's bring them up, nurture your children in the Lord. Feed them what they need to be fed from God's word. And the Christian education of our covenantal children is the job of our parents. It's not the job that we send off to have the Christian school do. That's just an extension of the parents, to help the parents, to give them more education. But the parents are the one responsible for the teaching of their children that God has given them to live in accordance with the word of God. You can find that in Ephesians 6. Deuteronomy 6 gives a repeated admonition in the Old Testament for parents to do the same thing. Teach your children. And there Moses warns the parents of failure to this responsibility. In fact, in chapter 4, he says, do not forget. You know, if you remember back when you were a child, if you can, did your parents ever start something that they wanted to tell you by those famous words, "Don't forget to." And then something that you weren't supposed to forget. Usually that sort of grab your attention, I would assume, long enough to tell yourself, "I'd better not forget this," because "don't forget to" is something they're going to come back to if I forget to. Don't forget to. What teach your children, Moses says. In short, the command of the Word of God is that we teach, we instruct, we raise our children in the Word of God. That means we have to use it. That means we have to read it. That means we have to explain it. That means we have to apply it. And Eunice was just that woman, a woman of faith, believing and receiving the promises of God and passing them on to her son Timothy, the doctrines and the faith of the fathers that were contained in Holy Scripture. And Timothy then is the recipient of this godly instruction. And the whole letter of 2 Timothy is an appeal by the Apostle Paul for Timothy to be faithful to the faith of the fathers. In fact, there's one author who wrote a little bitty commentary on this, and his little bitty commentary on 2 Timothy captures in those two words the essence of what the whole letter is about. Be faithful. If you want to know what is 2 Timothy about, it's be faithful. It's telling Timothy, be faithful to what you learned from grandma. Be faithful to what you learned from your mom. Be faithful to what they taught you from Holy Scripture. And be faithful as you preach the Word of God to the congregation that God has called you to. Be faithful to that infallible Scripture. We didn't read verse 16, but that's the Scripture to which he is referring. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly complete, equipped for every good work. Timothy was to be a man of the Word because the Word was what was worked into him through the instruction, through the example, and through the influence of a godly mother and a godly grandmother. And he, I am sure, was deeply thankful for that, as we should be as well. We should be thankful for mothers that are teaching their children, that have taught us, that we have been, if we're a mother, that have led their children, that have prayed with and for their children. And we should be able then to ask ourselves, can we look back and say that our mothers, or that the mothers that we see today, that they were like the example of Eunice and Lois, godly, faithful, and obedient to the Word of God. What did these women do? Well, we've already touched on it, but more intensely as we look at verse 14, they were fed upon and they fed to Timothy the Word of God. If you compare Timothy's experience in the home with that of the Apostle Paul, you have a pretty large contrast. You remember Paul says in Philippians, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. In other words, he had Hebrew parents and a Hebrew lineage. It didn't get much better when it came to being a Jew. If both of your parents were Hebrews, Jews, if both of your parents had a godly heritage, and I'm a little bit jealous of the Apostle Paul in that regard, because I'm sure that having Hebrew parents, it made learning Hebrew an awful lot easier than I had when I was in seminary. He was a devout student of the Word. Paul went to synagogue school, and because he had good grades, graduate school, and he studied under the greatest scholar of the time, the great Gamaliel. And we find that recorded in Scripture. He had an education that was bar none. He is like a friend of mine who is now much retired. And I had the opportunity to meet him and visit with him quite often when we were in Florida. And he was known for his teaching at Dallas Seminary, at Westminster Seminary. And I met him at Knox Seminary when he taught there. He held two PhDs, a PhD from Dallas Theological Seminary, which is pretty hard to accomplish in and of itself, but a PhD in Old Testament from Harvard University, which is even harder to accomplish. An accomplished scholar. Paul the Apostle had every bit of that, and you see that in the words and in the message and in the writings that Paul the Apostle has. He has a command of the Old Testament, and as he writes Ephesians, he dips into the Old Testament and he quotes the scripture as he weaves together that letter, and he shows how old scripture from the new Old Testament is new in terms of what that message is now for the New Testament, how that is fulfilled, how it all comes to pass. And Romans, that he writes to the church at Rome, is a masterpiece of scholarship and reasoning and understanding, and it's based upon the knowledge of the Old Testament. Timothy didn't have all that, but he had school with grandma, and he had school with mom, and he had the word that he was taught so that Paul could write, "You have become acquainted from childhood with the holy writings of Scripture." These were mothers that not only fed him a good diet every day, three squares, but gave him a diet of the Word of God. They believed God's Word to be true. They were students themselves of the Book of Life. They acknowledged the primacy of the Word of God in their lives, and that was evidence in their faithfulness from generation to generation in teaching this book to their children. Faithful Jews like Eunice and Lois would educate their children in the Bible, learn it, memorize it, and study it. Incidentally, that's why in the Old Testament we have so many of those Psalms. We don't get that in the English, but in the Hebrew language, the verses start with the first letter of the alphabet, and then the second letter is the second verse, third letter is the third verse, fourth letters. That's a memorization help. They were memorizing the Old Testament in Hebrew. They were memorizing Psalms. They were memorizing the Word of God and placing it within our hearts, within their hearts. Lois and Eunice were that kind of a mother. They taught Timothy the Word of God. They had a fortified diet when it came to the nourishment schedule in the Word of God. They gave him what he needed, and Paul says he was fully equipped for godly living. In contrast to all the false teachings that surrounded not only Timothy and Paul, but surround us today, they had the source of Scripture to make Timothy wise unto salvation. In other words, you want to become a Christian? You go to the Word of God. That's where you find out what you need to be in order to be saved. Humbled by God's word, blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and made wise unto salvation. Scripture is the guide for godly living as well. Thoroughly equipped for every good work, as verse 17 says, the word of God prepared Timothy for godly living. Like the psalmist says, the scripture makes wise the simple. The scripture was profitable for Timothy because Scripture is the only thing which instructs about salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, and to be wise for salvation. It tells us of the Savior of sinners. It tells us that he is the only one suitable for our souls and our need of salvation, and that he is the only ground of hope for salvation that exists, though there would be others even today, even in so-called Reformed and Presbyterian churches, who will publish and print such ungodly travesties as this statement: Buddha, Confucius, and other leaders, and Jesus are all different paths but lead to the same God. That's absolutely contrary to Scripture, which declares Jesus is the only way of salvation. And we need to go to the Word of God, and we need what Lois and Eunice gave Timothy, a balanced diet in the Word of God. We don't have time to expand on that, but I would point you to Hebrews 5, 11 to 13, where there's a warning that an unbalanced diet of the Word of God means you have to go back to basics. The writer of Hebrews there warns against having an unbalanced diet, not a sufficient diet in the Word of God. And it seems as though Eunice and Lois were the kinds of parents that had a knowledge of the right kind of a diet, and they regularly fed upon the Word of God in a balanced fashion. And well-fed Eunice and well-fed Lois gave Timothy that same food. And Paul says this to Timothy, love that teaching. A teaching that's commanded by God to be taught in the home. And it's necessary because of our sinful nature. It's what God's people need. They need it as a means of reproof. They need it as a means of correction. They need it as a means of instruction in righteousness. But love that word which comes from God and learn it as you learned it. And be convinced. The word there, convinced, verse 14, means firmly believe. I'm convinced. It's that firm belief that you just can't get out of me. It'll never go. I am so firmly convinced that it will always stay there. And Paul says, I'm convinced that you, Timothy, have trusted in that knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ because you received that knowledge and instruction and that teaching from your godly mother, your godly grandmother. And that's the greatest heritage any mother could ever give to her children. Eunice and Lois were two women who saw that need clearly of teaching their children in the way of faith about the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust Him alone for salvation and for the forgiveness of sins. Think about it for a moment. Paul says, from infancy you have learned these things. Doesn't that suggest to you that even children are capable of hearing and understanding when the Holy Spirit's operative in their lives? The blessings of salvation can be theirs. They need to hear the Word of God, because it's through the Word of God that the Holy Spirit comes to open this sinful heart and transform it and give it new life and enable us to believe. And if we teach and declare the truth of God's Word, our work will not be lost, because God is pleased to accompany His Word by the powerful working of His Holy Spirit, and no task is too great, because our God is not too small. He is the Lord God who declares in His words, I have sent forth my word, and it goes forth like the water comes from heaven and waters the earth. And He says, it will come and it will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. There's no if or maybe or could be, or if you add a little something to it in that word that God gives through Isaiah. God is sovereign, and He says, my word will accomplish its purpose. So Eunice and Lois used God's word to accomplish God's purpose. And that's what we are called to as well. If you are a mother, your greatest desire should be to lead your children to trust Jesus, to aspire to be as godly as Eunice and Lois. If we had mothers that were as godly as Eunice and Lois, today is a great day to give thanks for it and to say, thank you, Lord, for such a blessing. And as you remember your mothers today, remember, we don't live for Mother's Day to have celebration and make FTD famous and rich. But don't forget FTD and, you know, get some flowers. But it's not about the flowers. It's not about the recognition, the kisses and the hugs. It's not about the cards. Although, what's that card company that one? Yeah, they seem to come out with a new one every year, or a new 100 of them. The cards are nice. The flowers are beautiful. The recognition should be given. But the most important thing that we could say to our parents and to our mothers and to those that have raised us, or to those that are raising their own, that they need to know that walking in righteousness is the greatest gift that could have come through mothers. The knowledge of God's word that they have received is the greatest gift that as a child we have received. The greatest work that a mother can continue to do today is to feed their children on the word of God and walk with him. And so, as you think today of a mother that may not even be here with you today, and the fact that you may be walking with the Lord, that you may have come to faith, that you may have learned something from your mother and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and living in a genuine faith, that's what Paul called it here, the real article. Did you quite possibly get that through the influence of a godly mother? That influence is an influence that we need more of, and for which we should be ever thankful, as I am sure Timothy was thankful for a godly mother and a godly grandma as well. So godly grandmas and godly mothers, we should be thankful for, and we should aspire to be, for the glory of Christ. Amen.